Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If you've been enjoying this podcast and want a super easy way to support it, you can simply find me on YouTube by searching Demon Creep. A subscription is a great help. But if you want to help the longevity of this podcast, my channel offers channel memberships for as low as 99 cents a month. Thank you, and keep enjoying the Demon Creep podcast. Hello, souls and demons, and welcome to the portal. Today's supposedly true story was submitted to my email under the alias Taylor Sawyer. So sit back, grip your seats, and enjoy. I'm a preacher's kid. I grew up with my mom, dad, and an older brother and sister. Most of my life I lived in a parsonage. A parsonage is a house provided by the church to the preacher and his family. Contrary to popular belief, ministers make very little. Unless you're Joel Osteen or preach at a megachurch, preachers are just above the poverty line. That's why I knew it was a calling for my dad. I definitely knew he wasn't in it for the money. But I'm not here to push my religious beliefs or win you over to the virtues of my family. I'm here to tell you about the haunting. I will be touching on religious topics, but only where the story demands it for context. My family moved into the parsonage into the late 90s when I was 10. I fully believe there were dark things already there for me. I'm in my 30s now, and I still look back on those times with absolute terror. This was before Zach Baggins told us about EVPs and residual hauntings. Before the Paranormal Activity franchise made my story cliché, and before YouTubers had list videos about the types of haunting. And before I knew that the first signs of a demonic haunting is the appearance of shadow people. Like I said, I'm an adult now, I've done my research. I've tried to debunk everything. Part of me sincerely hopes it isn't real. I wish a doctor would have diagnosed me with a mental disorder that caused hallucinations. I wish I would have found out my room was getting too much carbon monoxide. I wish there was an actual human intruder secretly living in the attic. Because the alternative is too much. It's too dark. I had to grow fast, or I would have been consumed by the abyss of nihilism. I was only 10 years old, dealing with ageless, hateful entities. I believe this creature was already there at the parsonage when we moved in. Maybe somebody knew it was for preachers and they put a curse on it. Now it was just laying dormant, waiting for someone to call it, to channel it. So now we need to talk about the movie Event Horizon. I'm not saying the sci-fi movie directed by Paul W.S. Anderson is an evil movie. I just think the darkness at my house used the movie. Like how the spirits use a seance or a Ouija board to grow stronger. It used my fear of the movie to manifest itself. My parents knew the negative consequences of keeping their kids sheltered for too long. My parents knew being too strict would have the opposite effect on us when we left the house. They didn't want to let us become adults being naive with no self-control. We would bolt towards bad decisions like a dog finally let off his chain. So I grew up on Terminator 2, edited for TV Jason movies, and all the diehards also edited for TV. I love the Aliens and Predator movies, and Doom 64 was my favorite game on my Nintendo. So you can see why me and my brother wanted to rent Event Horizon after seeing the previews, which makes you think aliens are the bad guys. Well, spoilers for a 20-year-old movie. It's not aliens, it's hell. like the literal hell from the Bible. Think of the horrors of the warp from Warhammer 40K. I won't spoil it any further for those wanting to see the film, but there is one scene in particular that effed me up. If you've seen the film, you know the scene I'm talking about. The scene shows people being tortured in hell. I actually love the movie now and own the Blu-ray, but that scene scared the shit out of 10-year-old me. I shrugged it off, pretty cool-like in front of my older brother until the nighttime came. Once again, I started thinking about that movie, that scene. My young mind started questioning everything with Sunday school logic. Do people really go to hell? Is that what it's like? What if we all go to hell? What if I do? How do I even comprehend eternity? What if there is no heaven, only the darkness afterward? Only hell. I was having an existential crisis before I hit puberty. This wasn't like all the other spooky movies I had been scared by. This was crushing. And then the physical things started happening. My eyes wouldn't adjust to the lack of light in my room. There was pitch black darkness all around me. I started to shiver in my bed because it was cold all of a sudden. I felt cold tendrils snaking up my leg, chest, and finally shoulders. Me and my brother shared the same room, but I was too scared to call out for him. It felt like the darkness was right in front of my face. I felt like something in the darkness would lash out and bite me, like a snarling wolf hovering over its prey. Somehow in my shivering, terrified state, I fell asleep. The dream I had was vivid and grim. In my dream, I was standing naked in a forest. A great tree stood in front of me. It stretched high into the sky like a building. I could see dots of color up in its green tree limbs. It was bearing fruit. I knew, like you do in dreams, that I was in the Garden of Eden, and this was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Beside me stood Adam and Eve, both naked and afraid. That's when I noticed I was naked and cold and scared also. I could feel the cold wind against my skin. Suddenly, vines shot up the tree. Giant Jack and the Beanstalk vines with giant foot-long horns protruding out towards them. The vines spiraled all the way up the tree, strangling it. The thorns on the vines jutted out in every angle, making the vines impossible to climb. I saw glistening liquid dripping from the tips of the horns. Somehow I just knew it was poison and it would kill me on contact. Then I heard a voice from up far in the tree. Adam and Eve, and I, looked up to see a gigantic snake staring down from the tree branches. The snake's massive red eyes glowing down at us like spotlights. "No salvation for you," the snake hissed down at us, venom in its voice. "God has forsaken you, and we will all burn together." I woke up shaking and terrified, but unlike most dreams that fade upon waking, I felt the nightmare grow stronger upon waking. It felt like there was a presence in the room with me now. Think of the feeling you got where your teacher asked you to do a problem on the chalkboard, and you could feel the entire class staring at your back. Or when you walk by a yard with an aggressive dog in it. The dog only kept away by a fence. You can feel the violent intent directed towards you. You can feel the eyes on you. It felt like it was in my closet, or in the dark corner, or maybe on the roof above me, or it could be peeking at me from the foot of my bed. This night was when the waking nightmare began. I was scared all the time. There always felt like a malicious presence was around me. I was always cold and lethargic. The cold was a lonely cold. I felt like hope had been stripped from me. I could not think of anything happy or warm. My optimistic childhood mindset had been ripped out of me. No matter how much I tried, my mind always returned to the hopeless and lost feeling. I just didn't have the mental maturity to fight through it. From what I can recall, this went on for at least 6 months. My parents noticed something was different, and when I told them how I felt, they just thought I'd been spooked by a scary movie and I would get over it. So a couple of lonely and scared months passed. I talked rarely and always wanted to be around someone, so I didn't feel alone with the presence. I think I started getting better when summer ended and I went back to school. For most of the day, I was surrounded by classmates and friends, but the darkness always returned to my heart when I got home. As soon as I crossed the threshold, it felt like the cold weight of despair had dropped inside my stomach, making me weak and sullen. Finally, my brain started telling me I wasn't in danger. I always felt like I was about to be hurt, like I was a prisoner with a guillotine hanging over my head. But after months, I realized there was no danger, only the feelings of dread. I started trying to take back my life. I started to ignore the unyielding feeling of despair and emptiness. But this only made things worse. YouTube, Google, and even MySpace weren't a thing yet. There was nobody to teach me about hauntings, and nobody who would really listen. And most of all, there was nobody to teach me about shadow people. I think ignoring whatever entity upset it. Like a petulant child, it wanted all of my attention. So it started acting out more. It started trying to get me afraid again. It began trying to steal my joy. It was trying to get me to think about it every day. Trying to get me to worship it in its own vile way. So let me set the scene for you. The hallway outside of my room ran to a small foyer area where the front door was located. From the foyer, you had two options. The doorway to the left that ran through the living room, or the door on your right that led through a dining room area. From each of these rooms, you could continue into the kitchen and the side entrance. Also, during this time, there was a string of burglaries and auto burglaries in the neighborhood. The neighborhood was on high alert, and my dad feared our house was too vulnerable. Because the side entrance had a door with a big glass window, my dad feared a burglar could easily look in and see everything and break the windows to unlock the door. I was 12 at this time. I was a scrawny, acne-ridden kid and I knew it. So I had a plan if I saw a burglar. I would yell in a deep voice, pretending to be bigger and tougher than I was. So keep that in mind. I would always walk through the living room when going to the kitchen. The lights in the living room needed to be replaced, so they would flicker a couple of times before turning on. I hated that because every time I hit the switch, I swear I could see something moving in the darkness. Then the light would come on to reveal nothing. During the strobe effect, I would only see the figure when it was dark. The figure would duck behind the couch, be sitting on the love seat, or crouched on the carpet. All this kept up for weeks. I didn't want to think it was supernatural. I wanted it to be a trick of the light. I wanted all the spirit stuff behind me. I wanted to grow up and not be afraid of silly things like ghosts and demons. But it got to the point that I would look down as the light blinked, and only lifted my head once it fully clicked on. One night, I didn't look down. I was back in my parents' room talking with my dad. He suddenly asked me to get him a soda from the kitchen. I was in a good mood and in a hurry to get back to the conversation with my dad. I ran and flicked on the light, looking straight ahead. As the lights flickered on and off, I saw the pure black outline of a 7-foot-tall man. It stood in the middle of the room facing me head-on, like it was challenging me. What made this different was when the light was on, it didn't disappear. And when the light was off, I could still see its black outline against the darkness around it. Think of it this way. Take a cardboard cutout of a person, spray painted black, and put it in a non-lit room. The dark cutout would still stand out against its surroundings. You still would be able to see it, because it was darker than its surroundings. The thing just stood there, blacker than black, flaunting its existence to me. Being confronted with this, my brain screamed, "It's real. It's really here. So it has to be a burglar." In my fake deep voice, I screamed, "Hey asshole, what are you doing in here?" The thing stood there for a while, and I was hit with a sudden realization that it wasn't a man, but a featureless shadow. It slowly floated backwards, never turning from me. as the light flickered. It eventually drifted around the corner into the kitchen and out of my view. Only then did the lights turn on. My dad heard me scream and came running. I told him I saw a person so I wouldn't look crazy. My dad searched the house and checked the side door. The door was still locked. Let's just say that my parents didn't take me very serious with the spooky stuff. It was only 10 years later that my mom admitted something supernatural was happening. But that's its own story. And my dad half admitted that the house felt different. Even now I can't explain it. I thought maybe I was hallucinating or had mental problems. I'm not saying these things are a blessing, but at least I could get medication or do something to help end the nightmare. I don't want any of this to be real. I hope one day I can debunk all of it. I never saw the shadow people anywhere else but the parsonage. And worst of all, family and friends started seeing them too. I have a lot more stories in the parsonage. I'm willing to share them if there's any interest. Thanks for listening to Demon Creep Podcast. Don't forget to support the podcast by following it. The best things you can do is head over to my YouTube channel, Demon Creep, and drop me a subscription and a couple of views. Sharing my podcast or YouTube channel with your friends is a great help. Remember, growing is easier when you do it together. Until next time, this is Demon Creep, signing off.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.